Praise God.
Can we clap our hands now for our God? He's here.
Amen. Nobody will live here the same as you came in the name of Jesus Christ. Say it again. Whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not. You will not live here the same as you came here in the name of Jesus. You will live here better than you came today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Nobody meets with the Lord and remains the same. You either get angry, like the Sadducees, they become sad. You get angry or you get happy. That he came that we might have life. And that life we will have it more abundantly. Abundant life is in Christ. Without Christ, you will remain in crisis. Praise God. So, you either have Christ or you have crisis. How many people have Christ here? Praise the Lord. The commonest problem, there are two reasons why even Christians have problems. Two reasons. One, very, very common, is, you know, inherited problems from our parents. That's why anytime I'm dedicating a newborn baby at this altar, I always make that pronouncement that no hereditary problem will follow you. Eh? Praise God. That's how I will be blessing my children at home. I will be blessing, I say, you. Now maybe your papa, but no hereditary problem will pass from me to you. Amen. We inherit it either from our father, from our mother, from our village. One way or the other, passes from generation to generation. That's where many of us pick problems from. But I want to tell you, okay, the second one is problems that we ourselves create. We created them for ourselves before we became Christians. And some of them are even created after we became Christians. So that when you want to pray, you can know how, before you begin to call your prayer points, you begin to know, look inward first. This problem that is following me, how did it come to me? If it is hereditary, it will be a trend. That is, it happened to your grandfather, happened to your father, happened to you, and it's happening to your brothers. You will just see a trend in the family. All my mother's daughters, all of them, none of them, they give birth more than one. All my father's sons, they don't give birth more than two, then they die. My father reached 40 years, he died. My senior brother, 40 years, he died. My elder brother, he lived 40 years, he died. So, it means 40 years limitation have been placed to live in that family. You can know it so that when you want to pray, you will know how to pray. Then, the one that is needs a lot of sincerity, because between you and God, is the one that you know you have caused. You may have caused for yourself. I am speaking Bible. Can we open Proverbs chapter 26? Then we shall open Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 26 verse 2. It says, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse, causeless, shall not come. Any cost that is following you, what is using a bed there, is saying that if a bed had remained in one place, you know they fly, go up and down, you could not go jump trouble. So also, before any cost will come upon anybody, there must be a reason. So why not, before a doctor treats you, he will first diagnose the problem. Sometimes for the next 2 weeks, 3 appointments you come to the hospital is test for this, test for that, test, go to laboratory, test. So that he will know what is the right prescription for your problem. So also it is spiritually. It is not looking first for an anointed man of God. It is not looking first for a prophet like that. There are some problems that a prophet cannot see, because God himself will block the eye of that prophet. Because there are some problems that you yourself, you will know. You are pretending you don't know. You know. Instead of you to come to the prophet and say, I believe the reason why I am suffering this is because as I never married up to now, and not because I was bad, I scattered the marriage of my 3 close friends. Me and Fi say they cost me. Then the prophet will say, in addition to that, see what thing I see also. But you just come and say, I don't know why. God is listening to you. You don't know why. Okay. You should be sincere with yourself. Solution to every problem you have begins with you accepting your fault first. That's where the solution is. Then you can cry to a merciful God. God cannot show mercy on somebody who has not asked for mercy. Everything we receive from God comes by his mercy. Nobody has a right to receive anything from God. Because the Bible says, the psalmist says, if thou will mark iniquity, he said, who will stand? Like all Nigerians, the average Nigerian is a lawbreaker. If a policeman want to deal with anybody, they stop you. Don't say, look, just be careful with him, because he knows what, if he stop your car. Many cars don't have fire extinguisher, and there's a law for it. Your papers still be fake, because that driving license, which Bible driving school you go? You sit down for house and bring, I can't give you. Criminal. Oh yeah, tax, Uncle. How many of us they pay tax? You will declare, when they say, okay, bring tax clearance. You go and bring tax, so you pay 5,000 naira. Meanwhile, the car where you own, the car, you bought it for 18 million naira. So how you take 18 million naira, buy motorway, they pay tax? 5,000 naira. And so also with God, nobody can beat the chest and say, I am righteous. I am holy. God, you must bless me. Because if you look at you, amen, you will see iniquity cover you all. Cover you. So, all we need is to remain humble and ask for mercy. And when you come, hallelujah, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he, God, the Bible says, he will not despise. God wants you to come accepting that you are a mortal person. I don't deserve this. But I'm counting on your mercy. You're looking for fruit of the womb, brother. You know whether you're paying for all the abortions you committed.
Including you, sister. Then devil is there to divert your attention, to create more problem for you. He will be bringing faces of people that you yourself you don't like before. You yourself you don't like them. So he bring their faces, and then they attack you. Now then they attack you. Then you are creating more and more enmity, and creating more and more unforgiveness in your heart, fighting this, fighting that. And then places you again where you can't even pray for God to hear you because you are not, you are having an unforgiving heart. So the whole thing is very, very complicated. Rather, stop broke passing. Stop blaming somebody for your estate. Always look at yourself first. After all, the Bible says, if a man's way please the Lord, he maketh him to be at peace even with his enemies. Therefore, praise the Lord. Therefore, if I'm having too much enemies all around me, the solution to your victory first is look inward. Am I living a life pleasing before my God? If you do that, it says you will bring peace even with your enemies. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. A cause costless shall not come. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. He that digged a pit, what will happen to him? He shall fall into it. And whoso breaketh an edge, what will happen? A serpent shall bite him. Verse 9. Whoso removeth stones, if your work, now to carry your hand, they remove stone from where he did, what will happen? You shall be hurt therewith. And he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. So the emphasis here is, you are, it's like another adage now that says, the way you make your bed, that's how you lie on it. That God is God, not a man. He is not a man. He walks by a spiritual law. He himself has designed, and he cannot break it for anybody's sake. So that you can shorten, you know, the pain, the period of the pains you may be going through. Very, very important. He that break an edge, serpent will bite you. This is for the children of God. Every child of God, the Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The secret place of the Most High, if you remain there, you don't come out, the enemy cannot get you. Job is a perfect example. When God asked Satan, where are you coming from? He said, from to and fro. And God understood what he meant, because his assignment is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And it's to destroy human beings. He has gone about, his ministry is a ministry of temptations, trials. You know, he has caused so many men to fall. He has disturbed so many human beings, and he now asks him, I know you've gone everywhere, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan answered him quickly. I'm quoting Job chapter 1. That's the story there. And God, Satan answered him, of course, you have built your edge all around him, so nobody can get to him. Praise God. It's not only on Job, it's on every Christian. There is an edge of protection that covers all of us. I'm saying it because where you go, a sinner will sit down and a pastor will come and tell you, you are untouchable. A fornicator is sitting down, you are untouchable. Somebody say, I'm untouchable. Then the fornicator stand up, I'm untouchable. 419, we say, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. Everyone you 419 will curse you.
and the cause, nothing will stop it. It must come to pass. Because that type of weapon, now you fashion it for yourself. He said, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. No weapon. I am untouchable. I am under the blood. Which blood? You're under the blood of the person you have been cheating. The blood is crying over your head for vengeance. That is the blood. So when you come, we want to tell you it will help you. I'm telling you, it will help you. Praise God. If you want to come to Christ, come to Christ. If you want to serve mammon, serve mammon. Don't mix the two. It doesn't go together. If you are bad, just remain bad so that when you see yourself in hellfire, you know, as the thing they burn you, it's true. You won't even cry. Who you going to cry to? Because you know you are guilty. You don't see any armed robber where they want shoot. They cry. When you're not saying kill. Eh? It's true now. So I'm telling you something that will help you. You know, there are a lot of places you go for prayers. All that fasting will have just been solved by just 2 minutes with God and say, I am sorry. I don't do again. I acknowledge I have been bad. Father, I promise you, give me one more chance. Samson said it. Samson misbehaved and ended up. It was Samson was the cause of his problem. With all the grace God gave him, sold it under the bosom of a woman. A curse, curseless shall not come. But when he cried to God, he's a merciful God. That is something I don't want you to overlook. Once, no matter what abomination you have committed, that you are still alive, it's still God's mercy still keeping you to enable you come back to him and repent. And since you've been committing, you'll not die. It is still God's love for you. So that one day, you will repent. God is looking for his people to repent. Look, Isaiah 59, can we read it? Verse 1, 2, 3. Behold, Isaiah 59, verse 1, 2, and 3. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear all the prayers that you have been going from mountain to mountain, from prophet to prophet, from this. I always ask something. Is there a special Holy Ghost for me as pastor? Is there a special blood of Jesus Christ for me as a pastor? Nothing like that. To start with, a son of God, a daughter of God, your position is higher than a servant of God. The grace you have as a child of God is higher than the grace a servant has. Oh, I don't know whether they will even understand what I'm saying. No, you don't understand, Joe. No, if you understand, then why do you want to go to your father through his servant? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying now. Eh? You have your father who has all things, very wealthy. Then he has a servant that he employed. Then anytime you need something from your father, you will go to the servant. I beg now. I beg, talk to papa. I need school fees. I beg, talk to papa. Then the servant will go. And then he will now come, collect it and come and give you. Something is wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. Where you can enter, a servant cannot enter in that house. See, I'm telling you something. A man of God will stand and say, and say, as a servant of God, then the children of God are looking at some great person standing.
Lack of revelation.
What I'm saying, you don't hear it from pastor's mouth. That's why it's looking strange.
You are higher than a pastor. You are, forget the one they even add on top to bamboozle the more. Bishop, archbishop, reverend, reverend doctor, doctor professor.
So you think that it has anything to do? It is an office given to a servant.
A son, does he bear any other title in that house?
He's either called a prince.
The highest office name you can call him is a prince.
Why? Because he is a heir to that throne.
We are heirs of the Father. We are joined with the Son.
We are children.
We are children of the Spirit.
We are family.
We are family.
There is something that is bothering me. Christianity has been turned upside down. Christianity has been turned upside down, misrepresented. So I want to return us to how it should be.
Amen.
Now, I didn't say you are higher than me in the kingdom, me, Pastor Moses, because my father told me, my father, my heavenly father, showed me that I am his servant and his son.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I am like the owner of, you know, a multi-billion naira estate. And he appoints his son to be the managing director.
Amen.
And that is why you will not see me charge you money before I pray for you. Our attitude is different. The attitude of the sons of God that are also servants is different. I don't need that. And my testimony will not be the number of cars I have, the latest car I have, the big house I built. There is no need for it because everything the Father has belongs to me.
Hallelujah.
It is the spirit of a servant that a pastor that tells you that you remember when I started the ministry, I did not have anything. I had one shoe and one this, and they were yabbing me in my village and they were laughing at me, but now. That's the spirit of bondage. That person is like, you can't, why would you give that type of testimony?
Praise the Lord.
The prince of the son of the Queen of England.
Amen.
Then we come and stand. He don't buy one new motor. Then they say, praise the Lord. Then he come and do party. I don't build house. Come and do party. All that the Father has is his own. If I need it, I will ask him, he will give me. I am saying so because here am I here. Look at all the prophets in this church. I am not a prophet. But tell me whether I have come to line up to tell you, say, pray for me over anything. Have I ever, 16 years in this ministry, anywhere here be sincere, say you come that day, say you don't get money, make we pray, make God give you money for your house rent. Anybody here? Nobody. Yes. I went somewhere. Before this ministry started, or so, maybe the first year or 2 years of this ministry, I went somewhere. One prophet. Because I was looking for Pekin. I married for 20 years, no child. So naturally, you go to places. So that man prays with hand. And everybody, when he finished service, was one young man that time. He was somewhere at Ajegule. He was somewhere at Amuodofina. He said, when you finish ministry like this, one by one, those gave appointment before everybody. So everybody, they come, we fall down. When you fall down, you say, it is done. You go, they clap hand. Next. So my own turn came. Me too, I stand. And I was very sincere because everybody is receiving now. Because they say, I receive and they receive. I stood. I no fall down. The man, maybe enter deeper and deeper. And me, I was saying, have a God. My own sin pass all these people. Make me say, fall down, receive now. A voice of the Lord spoke to me. I will never forget that day. He said, the anointing he has, you have it too. So, I smiled. He was confused why I smiled. Then he said, you, see me later. Amen. The anointing there is faith. I don't have anointing. I know they do like these people, they fall down. So, I understand better. The faith I have. Amen. I don't need him for my own prayers. And one day after that, I sit down for my bed. I say, God, how many years now? And the prayer, they call upon you, say, give me Pekin. I go for prayer, you say the anointing, me say, I get down. Then where the Pekin? He just gave me a revelation, broke forth immediately. I turned on the bed where I sat down. I saw that baby boy sitting down there. Praise the Lord. I went and told my wife, I said, just relax. A baby boy is coming. Amen. And that baby boy came. Now, why I'm saying so is there is some boldness you have where you know who you are in Christ. That's all I'm saying, all this. Such a person does not walk by sensation. Such a person does not walk by any feeling. It walks by a knowledge. That's why he said, for ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The problem with Christians is they don't even know the right way to receive salvation. A lot of us receive, we claim we are saved by assumption. You claim you are saved because a pastor told you you are saved. It is somebody that told you because he asked you a question, if you want to come to Christ, stand up. After he preached a message, whatever he says, then you stand up. And he tells you, say after me, is leading you to Christ. That is their definition. He leads you by some, you know, recitations. You repeat it after him. Remember, it didn't come from your heart. You are only repeating what he is saying. Amen. Your mother told you, sister, are you married? You're married. Fine. I'll just ask you one question. I don't know, maybe that is how it happened. When a man came to you for marriage, did he ask you if you will marry him?
Yes.
Now, the answer you gave him was what your mother told you how to say it.
No, never.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Your mother didn't say, if the man asks you like this, say, yes, I love you with the whole of my heart.
No.
In fact, I would die for you, Ike. What's his name?
She didn't say so.
What's his name?
My mother.
Your husband's name?
Tony.
Tony. In fact, Tony, all that you said, that day to Tony. Eh? You said it from a conviction in your heart.
Yes.
After you studied him.
Yes.
You saw that this man, what I need as a man, he has it.
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
And then the day he now asked you, you were not repeating something anybody told you.
At all.
You were saying it from your heart.
For sure.
That thing that pushed you to say that, because of that, do you think anything can make any other man come to tempt you away from him again?
No,
because it was from your heart.
Yes.
So it is with salvation. You don't lead anybody to Christ by a prayer. I say it again. You don't, pastor, listen to me, oh pastor. All that thing they teach you for school of theology, it is to get church member, not member of the body of Christ. Oh, you know, there is a different way we preach to get church members. It's different from when you are preaching to make somebody a Christian. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible, Apostle Paul spoke about godly sorrow that worketh repentance. William Branham put it this way: being convinced, then being concerned. First and foremost, being convinced, then you are convicted, then you get concerned. Do you understand? You will be convinced first and foremost that you are a sinner. You are convicted that the soul that sinned shall go to you die. So you are convicted that death is your portion. Then you will be concerned how you will escape death. Then, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish. You now see a way of escape in Christ Jesus. Because of that conviction, it works a godly sorrow, that there is a godly sorrow for yourself, for your wretched estate, that now worketh repentance. It is only at that estate that you can come to the altar. And it is the state of your heart that makes God to now receive you and now give you the power to live a righteous life by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So anybody that had someone and then they push you like the day they came, the priest where I was, you know, inside the Koyi prison. Because they think all of us, we're prisoners now. So all of us are criminals. So of course we are all criminals. Even though we think carry us go there. So they make altar call from Fourth Square Gospel. Stand up, call, stand up, go. No. Go now. Go. Give your life to Christ. Go. The man come meet me for back there. Me, we just go see what they do for there. He said, go. Now I told, look, I said, is it by force? And the man look at me. He said, no, it's for your own good. I said, what did you say there that should make me come out? Those people going now, force them go. Why are you coming to force me? The man look at me and say, God, this must be a serious criminal. Inside prison, yeah. Even God, no fear. Because I don't want to deceive myself now. What till they talk? What did you say? Praise the Lord. But the day that another set of people came again and I just went there and they said something that struck my heart. Nobody came to say, you go now. By myself, I went to the altar and I didn't know what was going on. Tears were coming out of my eyes. I was crying. I was living a useless life like this. So from that day, today, I have not gone back to that altar again. I have grown closer and closer and closer to God. I become better and better as He begins to reveal Himself to me more and more. Not because somebody says, say after me. Then they declare, hey. Did you say? He said, hey, now you are born again. I congratulate you. Father, write His name in the book of life. Praise God. Any pastor that says, write His name in the book of life, it means you don't even know about the book of life. The Bible tells me the book of life is having names written from when? The day you gave your life to Christ? From the foundation of the world. It's a mystery of salvation. And the interesting thing there is this. Although salvation looks as if it is for all, it is only those whose names are written in the book of life that will come out and give their life to Christ. That's why the Bible says the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And He added, let them that nameth the name of the Lord do what? Depart from iniquity. Praise the Lord. No wonder. Amen. The process of salvation, most of these churches don't even know it. Three works of grace: justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Three works of grace. Everyone that will be saved, every one of us that will be saved, these three works, you must undergo it. You must be justified. You must be filled with the Holy Ghost. You are not born again until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And before you receive the Holy Ghost, you must be justified. And to be justified is the estate that you stand before God and all your past sins are remitted. And it is achieved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the process of you admitting that you died for me, I die with you, I am buried with you, and I have the hope of resurrection. That is water baptism. Most of the churches you know, they miss it. They miss it. Mentioning some of the churches that you think they know Bible and that they are leading people to God, only to see that they are following the wrong process. Please, if you are coming for the first time, wave your hand, let me see. Today is your first time. You never come here before. Wave it very well. Wave it. Thank you very much. Please, you are in Bride Assembly Church. This church is raised up to restore the children of God back to Bible Christianity. Amen. Please. So the way we will preach may sound different from where you are coming, because our evangelism is not to the street. Our evangelism is to the Christians. For my Bible tells me, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And God Himself raised a ministry this age to return us back to Bible Christianity, preparing the people for homegoing. That the time for religion is over. By the revelation of His word, that God gather us. So when we say it, we will say it raw. For God is no respecter of persons. That person that you are saying is a big man, a big pastor, he is big before you, not before God. Praise the Lord. And if what I am saying is wrong, God will judge me. But if what I'm saying is right, then, and you don't take heed to it, it will also stand against you on the day of judgment. Praise the Lord. Number one, redeem baptizes wrongly. Oh, sorry, before I call redeem, I will start from the mother, Catholic Church. They started it. They baptized wrongly. Anglican baptizes wrongly. Deeper Life baptizes wrongly. Assemblies of God baptizes wrongly. Four Square baptizes wrongly. CAC baptizes wrongly. Can I tell you generally, Trinitarian churches baptize wrongly? Because it is that doctrine of Trinity that got them into that error. Remember, a liar, if you tell one lie, to sustain that lie, you must continue to be telling lies to sustain that one lie. The doctrine of three persons in one God, doctrine for the Godhead, is wrong. We don't have three persons in one God. We have one God in three offices, not three personalities. There are no three gods, co-equal, co-this, co-that, co-power, co-co-co-co-co-co. Nothing like that. God says he does not share his glory with any man. Hear ye Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. The Lord your God, he is one. But for the purpose of our salvation, he manifested himself as the Father of creation, and he was in his Son. The same God built a body for himself, through a virgin birth, built a body as the Bible refers to it, and incarnated that body. The same great eternal spirit, our Father, was in his Son, reconciling the world to himself. That is the second office of the same one God. He is the Father, is an office in creation. In his Son, to pay the price of redemption, kinsman redeemer. Praise the Lord. And when he finished paying the price, to come back and work on his children for regeneration, he came by the Holy Ghost, as the Holy Ghost, in those he has purchased. One God in three offices, not three persons in one God. You can't define it. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. And there is no mystery in calculation. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. A lie. Nothing like that. And because of that lie, they have Matthew 28 verse 19 to support it, so that they can baptize into that three offices, three personalities. That we should baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They take you into the water and they put you inside the water. I baptize you according to Matthew 28 verse 19 in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and put you inside water and bring you out. You have not yet baptized. Those of you coming for the first time, those of you listening to me for the first time, wherever you are, it is a commandment. Go and baptize in a name. The emphasis is the name. It's the name. If you say baptize in the name of the Father, it means the Father has a name. And the name of the Son, it means the Son has a name. And the name of the Holy Ghost, it means the Holy Ghost has a name. And those he told were his 11 disciples. Judas had died. He gave the commandment to them. And those disciples, everywhere they baptized, in obedience to that commandment, you don't hear Father, Son, Holy Ghost anymore. They all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because according to the Bible, Jesus is the name of the Father, is the name of the Son, is the name of the Holy Ghost. One name, because that name Jesus is the name of God for the purpose of our redemption. God has many names, but he takes a name to reflect what he's doing at any given time. Now is the time for salvation. Therefore, his name is Yeshua. The Greek call it Jesus. Igbo people call it what do you call Jesus? Chineke. No, Chineke is God. No? Jesus, who call? Igbo people don't get name for Jesus. Okay. What do they call? What do they call? Yesu.
Yesu Christi.
Yesu Christi.
Yes, sir.
Yesu Christi. Praise the Lord. That is the name of the Father. because he was in his son, reconciling the world to himself, he placed his name in his son. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. John chapter 14 verse 26. He said the Holy Ghost, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ said that the Father will send him in my name. The Holy Ghost will be coming in the name of the Son. And what is the name of the Son? Therefore, the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. The name of the Father is Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 43. He was telling the Sadducees and the Pharisees, I come in my Father's name. He said, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his name, him you will receive. He said, I come in my Father's name. What he's saying is that the name that he's bearing is the name of his Father. What is his name? Jesus. It means the name of the Father is Jesus. When Jesus said, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, you are to take the sinner that has repented and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and baptize him in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus. As you bring him out, you have baptized him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. One name, Jesus. Any other way you baptize, your sin is still upon you. You must be buried when you die. Therefore, sprinkling of water is wrong. You must first repent. Therefore, infant baptism is wrong because that infant has not repented. Praise the Lord. And so, that is the beginning of your relationship with God. You, the sinner. To come before him and allow that blood purge you away as you repent. The sin that separated you from God is washed away. Then you now stand. The accuser of the brethren now has no power over you again because he has nothing to accuse you again. The blood of Jesus washes it away. Then he gives you his spirit, the Holy Ghost. That is the process. Anybody are listening to me now, don't look for an anointed prophet to use leg or hand to deliver you. That deliverance can never be permanent. I'm telling you. We call that type of deliverance symptomatic treatment of the problem. You are treating symptoms when the root is still there. Satan will come back. You have no power. The Bible says, we overcome the accuser of the brethren with what? The blood of the Lamb. How? You come under the blood. Through water baptism. That blood speaks for you. You have no right to shout, blood of Jesus speak for me, until you are under the blood. And you are under the blood first by the process of water baptism. After you have repented. And if you have not repented and you enter that water, you have only entered to go and swim. It has nothing to do with salvation. Even if they call Jesus, 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 Jesus upon you how many times, you have only entered to swim because you must first repent. That is the formula in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter on the day of Pentecost told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. That is the formula. That is the key. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? We don't have register to write your name. We are not appealing to you to go for water baptism. We appeal to sinners to repent. But if you think that you don't need the baptism, go ahead. Go ahead. No problem. Because we have no register. We have no headquarters. We are reporting today's activities to. So that they will promote me to a regional leader. By the number of people I have won. Through my monthly or weekly report. This is between you and God. Can we clap our hands for Jesus?